This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily via the internet address www.parstoday.com/en. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Intelsat 902, and Eutelsat satellite, as well as via internet. You can also listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for more details.
And now we enlighten you with Ayah 260 to 263 of Surah Baqarah, recited by Shahriyar Parhizgar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي قال فخذ أربعة من الطير فصرهن إليك ثم اجعل على كل جبل منهن جزءا ثم ادعهن يأتينك سعيا واعلم أن الله عزيز حكيم مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة 100 حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله ثم لا يتبعون ما أنفقوا منا ولا أذى لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون قول معروف ومغفرة خير من صدقة يتبعها أذى والله غني حليم.
In the name of Allah, and when Abraham said, My Lord, show me how you revive the dead. He said, Do you not believe? He said, Yes, indeed, but in order that my heart may be at rest. He said, Take 4 of the birds, then cut them into pieces, and place a part of them on every mountain. Then call them, they will come to you, hastening, and know that Allah is Almighty and All-Wise. Those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah and then do not follow what they have spent with reproaches and affronts, they shall have their reward near their Lord, and they will have no fear, nor will they grieve. An honorable word with pardon is better than a charity followed by affront, and Allah is all-sufficient, most forbearing.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, FM, and satellites. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5. And Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of God, the All Compassionate, the All Merciful, and may great peace and blessing be upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and his household. Assalamu alaikum, my dear brothers and sisters, and welcome back to the series of Talks for Humanity. This is Hamza Azizi, and we've been talking about the significance of kinship within the scope of different communications that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drew in His holy book for human beings. We have come to this discussion that one of the circle of the people around us whom we have communication with are our relatives. So it's important to know how much emphasis Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts on kinship and familial relationship. We talked about the significance of that, and we also talked about some of the consequences of this type of relation. We have come to this point that along with the consequences, there are some responsibilities for every person toward his own relatives. The very first responsibility that we mentioned was to guide the relatives to the right path. We mentioned that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, when he began his mission and he received the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Mecca, for 3 years he was assigned to keep his mission as a secret, not spreading that to the other people, except his own wife, Lady Khadija, peace be upon her, and Imam Ali, peace be upon him, who was accompanying him in the cave when receiving the divine message. Therefore, they were the only people who were technically Muslims at that time. After 3 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala issued the permissibility, or it's better to say the obligation, of publicizing the message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assigned Prophet to inform his own relatives and bring them together and inform them about the message he was assigned and to call them to the right path, to believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to guide them. So you see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the very first public responsibility He has given to the Prophet was to guide his relatives. Let's remember what we've said about family. If you remember, we said that the priority of our guiding affairs is to keep our own faith along with our family members' faith. Now, we can say exactly the same code and the same ruling is applied in the case of relatives. So let's elaborate on that a little bit more after a short break.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad ya muslimin sallu alayhi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad sallu alayhi.
Welcome back, my dear audience, brothers and sisters, to the series of Talks for Humanity. This is Hamza Azizi talking about the responsibilities which everyone, every Muslim, the believer has about his own relatives. Oh, if we can rephrase that in this form, that everyone is assigned to take care about some things about his own relatives. Or in another word, the kinship, the relationship, the familial relationship brings some responsibilities along with the consequences or along with the advantages that it brings at the same time. Prophet Muhammad, we said, that was assigned to inform his own relatives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. The very first message that you have is to warn your own relatives, your own kinsfolk, the nearest of your kinsfolk. As I said, it shows that the same as responsibility we have toward our family members, I mean our spouses and our children, we have a responsibility to guide our relatives to the right path. I cannot say that, okay, I have my own faith, my own faithful life and faithful lifestyle, so let's isolate myself and my family from our relatives and follow our own divine instructions without caring about what is going to happen to our relatives' faith. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you are responsible about their faith as well. Of course, like any other assignment, this is depends on the ability, the conditions. Of course, when I try several times, and I see that, okay, I am unable to guide my relative members, whether they are such strict people who do not accept any word other than what they believe in, or I am such person that I do not have that much capability to guide them. Of course, in that case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not assign anymore. But to be careless, this is something that is prohibited. To be careless about their faith, this is something that is disapproved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to his prophet that now that you want to publicize your call and your mission, the very first priority is your relatives, the close relatives you have. So go and warn them. As you know, Prophet invited his relative members in a gathering, in a party. He prepared the food, and the first time, as soon as he wanted to talk about his mission, about the case, after the meal, one of the people, he interrupted him, so he didn't let the Prophet to talk about what he wanted. Maybe they knew that what is the topic, because they used to see that Prophet during those 3 years, he was acting differently from what the idol worshippers used to do. So they knew that Prophet believed otherwise, and then he wants to publicize and talk about and shares his own faith with the others. So they didn't let him talk. So Prophet was not disappointed and did not leave the case. No, he again prepared another meal and invited them for the second time. And then in that occasion, he elaborated and explained about his mission. So it's a very famous and long story. Maybe most of you know about that. I just wanted to emphasize on this point that Prophet was responsible about the faith of his own relatives. We will get back to this a little bit more after a while by other verses as well. But in the next episode, inshallah, we'll follow the other responsibilities that a person might have toward his own relatives. Thank you very much. Have a good time. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
Doing us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight. The Israeli regime has launched new strikes on Gaza, targeting areas near Kamal Adwan Hospital in the north, leaving scores of Palestinians dead. An earlier strike on the health facility left four doctors dead. The World Health Organization says the attacks came with no prior warnings. Hamas has called for an international committee to investigate Israel's deliberate targeting of hospitals and medical facilities across the Strip, which has been increasing since October of last year. Joining us on tonight's Spotlight, we have journalist and political analyst, Mr. Elijah Magnier, joining us from Brussels. And we also have international coordinator of the Samadun Palestinian Prisoner Solidarity Network, Ms. Charlotte Cates, joining us from Tunis.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
Welcome to the program, to both of our guests. Let's start off with Mr. Magnier in Brussels. So targeting medical facilities has been the Israeli MO since the onset of this genocidal war. Hamas has called for an international committee to investigate Israel's deliberate targeting of hospitals and medical facilities, which most likely will not happen. And also, as we mentioned in the intro, just recently four doctors were killed by Israeli forces at the Kamal Adwan Hospital in northern Gaza. Why does the regime continue to target hospitals and medical facilities around 430 days into this massacre?
Thank you for having me. The Israelis are unaccountable. This is why they can do whatever they want. It is not out of nothing that the International Court of Justice and International Criminal Court consider Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu as a war criminal for the crime that he is committing against the Palestinians in Gaza and also in the West Bank that are crimes that are committed there too. So the aim of the Israelis at the moment is to completely ethnic cleanse the north of Gaza and to reconstruct the settlements that were present prior to 2005. This is why they are turning that part in Gaza in completely non-habitable area, where the people who insisted in remaining in Jabalia, in Beit Hanun, in Beit Lahia, in Ashati, and they insist not to leave, they find no facilities, no hospitals, no schools, no university, nothing at all. And the only possibility for them to continue surviving, according to the Israeli plan, is to migrate from the north to Gaza City, that is still in the north, but in the second part. So that is the Israeli plan, and this is why this is not the first time they target the hospital. They've done that in the last 13 or 14 months of this war.
Charlotte Cates, UNRWA has stated that Israel is only allowing around 30 trucks of life-sustaining aid into Gaza daily, raising urgent alarms about the looming threat of famine in northern Gaza. What is the motive behind what Israel is doing in the north of the Gaza Strip when it had basically already demolished the area in the early stages of this genocidal war?
Yes, the Zionist regime began its genocidal assault on Gaza with its attack on the north of Gaza. But the fact is that the people of the north have refused and rejected the genocide by all means and by all measures. And this is because, you know, the Palestinian people have the memory of al-Nakba. They have the memory of 1967. And so they're unwilling to be displaced from their land. Many, of course, people fled the north of Gaza, and they, when they fled to these places that were supposed to be safe, they were bombed there as well. And so they returned to the north of Gaza, whether they were living in their homes, whether they were living in tents, whether they were living in a shelter, in order to protect and defend their land against this Zionist enemy that has no goal other than the destruction of the Palestinian people and the theft and confiscation of their land and resources. And so what we're seeing right now is a genocide in action. It is an attempt to target the civilian population of the north of Gaza. It is an attempt to force them from their homes, to force them from their land, to, I mean, appease the wide-ranging, extremely fascist settler component of the Zionist society, and to pursue the goals of the genocide. I mean, the Zionist regime officials are very clear when they speak openly about their desire to force Palestinians to emigrate, to force Palestinians from their land. And so this is exactly what they're doing in the north of Gaza. They want to attempt to once again, you know, seize Palestinian land. They want to once again try to create, you know, security buffers. This is the kind of, you know, or openly to build settlements and to build pipelines and to build, you know, waterfront property, as Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, boasted on the Sea of Gaza. So they're trying to pursue this by all means. And that this war and this slaughter directed against the people of the north of Gaza is one that is being funded, armed, and paid for by the United States and its imperialist allies. So every time we hear a U.S. politician say that they want some kind of a ceasefire, you know, it's very clear that they don't, because they would stop sending Israel billions of dollars in weaponry if that's what they wanted. But instead, they just keep funding and arming the Zionist project to carry out its genocide. And of course, you know, Netanyahu and his cohort want to also wait until Trump is in office, because they feel like they'll have an even freer reign at that point.
Sure.
Not that the Biden administration has done anything to rein in their genocidal assault.
Mr. Magni, a UN committee has criticized the Israeli regime for destroying vital water and sanitation systems, contaminating the environment, inflicting long-term harm on future generations, and using starvation as a weapon of war. UN's Famine Review Committee warned that famine may already be occurring in Gaza. How does Israel's claims of self-defense and fighting the resistance go hand in hand with starving innocent civilians and children in Gaza?
Well, the reason why the International Court of Justice accepted the case against Israel of intent of genocide, because the defense minister, Yoav Gallant, said exactly this at the first beginning of this war, that he's going to cut water, electricity, medic supply, everything on Gaza. And the behavior of the Israelis is so obvious that they are bragging about it on social media. They're showing their crimes against humanity or war crimes and confirming their intent of genocide. So we don't hear anything new from the behavior of the Israeli today, because it has been going on, obviously, in the last 14 months, but it has been going on since 1948, but gradually and more discreetly. But now the Israeli came out and they are saying it because they really don't care. The United States is protecting them at the United Nations, and there is no UN resolution that can condemn them. Even the verdict of the prosecutor of the ICC was rejected by the Americans, and who consider the Israeli official, and in particular Benjamin Netanyahu, as a friend and ally. This is why we see the continuation of what is happening in Gaza. And we also hear that the finance minister, Bezalel Smotrich, now is going to annex more territory, 43,000 dunam in the West Bank. Again, that is a violation of international law. So Israel, as an occupation force, doesn't have the right to defend itself. But the Palestinian, according to several United Nations resolutions from the United Nations Security Council, they have the right of self-determination, they have the right of armed defense, and they have the right to claim back their land, but not Israel. So all that is a big lie that was introduced by the West, saying Israel has a right to defend itself, and actually saying Israel can commit all the atrocity and the crimes Israel wants, and again, without impunity.
Ms. Cates, it's not just medical workers that are being targeted by Israel. There are also journalists and even UN peacekeepers. According to data by the Committee to Protect Journalists, the Israeli war on Gaza has killed more journalists over the past year than any other conflict over the past 30 years. UN peacekeepers in Lebanon, if you recall, were fired on by the Israeli regime as well. What can you tell us about that type of conduct by the Israeli regime, where it continues to target journalists, medics, and even UN peacekeepers?
Well, this is a genocidal regime that is carrying out a genocide. And there have been attempts to kind of minimize or normalize the conduct of the Zionist entity throughout this war as if it is unremarkable or normal. It is not. It is genocidal in the most extreme degree. And one of the reasons why there has been such a massive response on the streets by the people of the world, even in the heart of the Imperial Corps, in the heart of and the capital cities of the countries that are arming and funding and backing and supporting this genocide, that we've seen hundreds of thousands and millions of people taking to the streets, is because of the images and the truth that are being broadcasted to the world by Palestinian journalists. Of course, by and large, access to Gaza is completely cut off by the Zionist regime to international journalists. Palestinian journalists are truly heroes on the front lines, exposing the truth, documenting reality. Professional journalists and citizen journalists taking videos, taking pictures, showing the reality of the Zionist crimes. And so, of course, it is not surprising that a genocidal regime bent on the destruction of the Palestinian people wants specifically to wipe out and target those who are telling the truth and bringing that truth about what's happening in Palestine to the people of the world. I mean, we've seen, we should be very clear, like what the attacks on health workers, the attacks on doctors, the attacks on journalists, the attacks on food aid providers. One of the sectors of Palestinian society that has been exceptionally targeted are municipal workers, repair workers, aid workers, people who are working to, people who work to repair any kind of power systems, people who work to repair hospitals that were damaged, municipal workers, people who were spearheading the distribution of aid in an organized way have been systematically targeted and assassinated by the Zionist regime. These are assassinations. This isn't even part of the sort of generalized carpet bombing that the Zionist regime is carrying out against the Palestinian population as a whole, which is taking place on a daily basis. These are targeted assassinations to wipe out people in those professions that form the material, economic, and social backbone of society. It's an attempt to carry out the genocide by denying those who are injured by their bombs and their missiles, access to health care to take care of them and provide so that they can heal. It's an attempt to deny food through carrying out the war crime of starvation and imposed famine. It's an attempt to create social insecurity in society and to promote sort of the use of armed gangs and then say that, oh, well, food aid will be stolen. Well, food aid is only being stolen because that's what's being organized by the occupation, by the occupation forces in their genocidal attack, and because they have systematically assassinated Palestinian after Palestinian, whether they're running a soup kitchen, like we saw last week, a Palestinian who was running a soup kitchen, had been doing so for months, was assassinated in a targeted assassination, to essentially mayors, police officials, and everyone who was a responsible right. aid official in Gaza has been targeted, assassinated by the Zionist regime in order to effectuate the genocide.
Elijah Magnea, in its most recent report, Amnesty International has accused Israel of committing genocide against Palestinians in Gaza. Amnesty says that its research over months, quote, has found sufficient basis to conclude that Israel has committed and is continuing to commit genocide against Palestinians. Please break down what this report is saying. And in your opinion, are we seeing Israel plunging further and further into isolation, one more rights group at a time, and one more country at a time, as this massacre continues?
I really don't see Israel isolated in the West and in the rest of the world today. On the contrary, there is a concentration on the ICC warrant against Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Yoav Gallant. Now he become the former defense minister. So everybody is looking at the officials. Now, it is important not only to look at the prime minister and the defense minister. There is a whole chain of politicians, Knesset members, other ministers who called to nuke Gaza, and all the military commanders who are actually involved in the killing, in the crimes against humanity, who have no honor in fighting. And in fact, this is the most immoral and unethical army in the world. These need to be taken to justice around the world, not only the prime minister and the defense minister. So what Amnesty International is saying ahead of the ICC is saying, well, yes, there are genocide committed in Gaza. We all know that there are genocide, but to prove the intent is up to the ICC, to the ICJ. And then the ICJ has a problem because it cannot implement these accusations without the United Nations Security Council that need to come up with a verdict. And again, we can be sure that the Americans will block all that. So is that isolating Israel? Of course not, because the Americans are still supplying the Israelis with the weapon they need to continue more crime and genocide against the Palestinians. Germany hasn't stopped in supplying the Israelis with more than 39% of their needs of ammunition. The Americans are the first, yes, but all the other countries are still encouraging, without saying it, the Israelis to continue doing what they are doing in Gaza and in Lebanon. That should not be forgotten, because they have committed also crimes against humanity and war crimes in Lebanon against the civilians, bombing a sovereign country. So at the end of the day, we see the hypocrisy and the double standard of the international community that understood finally that they can no longer hold a high moral ground, and they are really complicit in everything Israel is doing.
Charlotte Cates, staying with the UK-based human rights group Amnesty International, which concluded, basically this conclusion was based on quote-unquote dehumanizing and genocidal statements by Israeli officials, digital images, and witness testimony, and must serve as a wake-up call to the international community. Talking about a wake-up call, over 44,000 have been slaughtered. An entire population has basically been demolished. And according to UN estimates, Gaza will not recover in our lifetime. Are you appalled at how the international community has failed the people of Gaza and has failed to end the suffering of the Palestinians there?
Well, it's clear that there's been a failure across the board on the part of international institutions, in particular, who are charged with preserving peace and security for the people of the world, because it's clear that Palestinians, Arabs, and the people of the region have been systematically excluded from that protection of peace and security. But when we're talking about the imperialist powers like the United States, Britain, France, Canada, Germany, et cetera, these countries are not... they're not just failing the Palestinians by not acting. They are active partners in the ongoing genocide. They should be, and their leaders should be indicted for war crimes as well, alongside Netanyahu and Gallant. We've already seen Macron stating that France is going to give some kind of immunity to the Zionist officials if they come to France. We've already seen Yoav Gallant is in New York City today. So this is a kind of impunity that's provided by the weaponry and arms of the United States, which is, of course, the greatest threat to humanity in the world today and has been so for decades. And so these states are absolutely and fully complicit, more than complicit, they're active participants in the genocide. We've seen time after time U.S. military officials, you know, going to the Zionist regime to provide direct military advice and participation in the ongoing genocide against the Palestinian people. We saw the so-called aid pier, which was actually used as a landing spot to carry out a massacre in Nusayrat camp. And did not, in fact, deliver any aid, and did only deliver occupation soldiers to kill over 200 Palestinians in that massacre. This is full and active participation. And so what we've seen is that the only forces that have stood with the Palestinian people and are living up to their responsibility under international law are the forces of resistance in the region, who have upheld their responsibility to the Palestinian people, but also their responsibility under the Genocide Convention to actually take action to stop a genocide from being carried out in front of their eyes. And in response, what we've seen is yet more war, more so-called terrorist designations, more attacks, and more attempts to destroy all of the forces of resistance in the region, which have been the only forces holding back this onslaught of imperialism, this genocidal assault that is meant to create a sense of terror amongst the entire population of the world, that if you dare to rise up against imperialism, if you dare to rise up against Zionism, you'll be met with slaughter and it will not be stopped. And so it becomes a responsibility for all of us to do everything that we can to not just allow this to continue, to not just feel the sorrow in our screens, but to take action.
Elijah Magnia, you earlier mentioned the issue of the ICC arrest warrants for Benjamin Netanyahu and the former war minister, Yoav Gallant. Let's talk more about these warrants. And in your opinion, how can international law be upheld when Israel and its Western supporters won't acknowledge these arrest warrants nor the bodies that have called for them, and what kind of a dangerous precedent is being set here?
Well, all the countries who are signatory of the ICEC should implement the warrant against Benjamin Netanyahu and his defense minister, Yoav Gallant. However, we have seen some resistance from several countries who are signatory of the ICC, who said that they may not arrest Benjamin Netanyahu if he touches the ground in their country. And recently, France granted immunity to one of the signatories of the ICC and said that Benjamin Netanyahu can actually visit France without being arrested. Now, there are many ways to go around the law. I remember here in Belgium when Stipe Levny, who was a foreign minister and came to Belgium and had a warrant against her because of the local court, she was asked not to leave the plane, otherwise she would be arrested. So there are ways to twist the law and go around it and not implement it. These laws, as the British told the prosecutor, are not made for the friend of the West, but for the enemies of the West. So I don't think this is going to make a lot of difference, but there is one difference that is a fact, is many countries will be embarrassed to receive Benjamin Netanyahu, will be attacked by the population, will be indicated as they are receiving a war criminal and they are violating international laws. That will add to the many violations Western leaders have been committing since this war against the Palestinian had begun.
Ms. Cates, very briefly, if you may, in our final question, if no action is being taken here and there's no accountability for Israel's crimes and its violations, won't this just happen again and again? And as we mentioned earlier, even set a precedent for similar massacres to take place in the future. And if that's the case, how can the status quo ever change?
The status quo is only going to change through resistance and confrontation of imperialism and Zionism. It can never be changed by trying to seek accommodation with these forces that have made clear that they are bent only on genocide. There can never be security unless there's an end to and a dismantlement of the Zionist project in the region, which will surely lead to the defeat of imperialism and its hegemony across the board, throughout, not just in Palestine, but throughout the region as well. And as horrible and as awful as the situation is today, as terrible as the human cost has been that has been taken from the Palestinian people by the Zionist regime and by those imperialist powers backing it, it's clear that this is not the end of the road for Palestine. On the contrary, there is no future for everybody but justice and liberation.
Very well. Thanks to my guest, journalist and political analyst Elijah Magnea, joining us from Brussels. And thanks to international coordinator of the Samadun Palestinian Prisoner Solidarity Network, Ms. Charlotte Cates, joining us from Tunis. And also a special thanks to you for staying with us on this edition of Spotlight. It's a good night for now.
In the limelight.
During European Union discussions, Hungary and the Czech Republic have been more consistent in cheerleading for child killer Netanyahu than Germany. Decisively, however, Germany is Europe's largest provider of arms to Israel, as well as being a major client of the Israeli regime arms industry. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Please stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, Germany's representatives have a ready-made response when a question is asked about their country's backing for Israel, historical responsibility. Invoking that responsibility is a convenient tool in shutting down debate. Everyone must accept that the Berlin government can only atone for the genocide if it facilitates the ongoing genocide in Gaza. Gideon Saar, the Zionist regime's new foreign minister, seems to be demanding a maximalist approach from German politicians as they prepare for a February election. Last week, Saar thanked Alexander Dobrindt, a leading player in Bavaria's Christian Social Union, CSU, for expressing himself with a moral, clear voice. A moral, clear voice, according to Saar, is one which opposes the International Criminal Court and the warrants it has issued for the arrest of child killer Benjamin Netanyahu, the Zionist regime prime minister, and war minister Yoav Gallant. Until recently, he was a war minister. The CSU is a sister party of the Christian Democrats, who are expected to lead Germany's next ruling coalition. It would not be surprising if the Israeli regime puts pressure on that government to punish the ICC. At the moment, Germany is one of the court's largest donors, contributing financially to the ICC was politically expedient, while the court was preoccupied with Africa or investigating the wrongdoings of official enemies. Yet Germany has identified asserting Israel's security as a Staatsräson, or reason of a state. It is almost inevitable that the Israeli regime and its lobbying network will remind politicians in Berlin of that commitment as they escalate their attacks on the ICC. A recent event gives a flavor of just how ensconced in German institutions the pro-Israel lobby is. The German-Israel Strategic Forum, as the annual event is called, is a joint initiative of the Federal Academy for Security Policy, an official government body based in Berlin, and the European Leadership Network, ELNET. Despite its name, the European Leadership Network is actually an offshoot of the pro-Israel lobby in the United States. Held in Al-Quds, the recent forum demonstrated that amongst friends, it is possible to speak openly, respect differing opinions, and still work towards common goals, ELNET claimed. The real common goals can be discerned from how the forum was addressed by Yuval Steinitz, a former Israeli regime energy minister, who now heads the weapon maker Rafael. He emphasized that Germany is Israel's most important European ally, according to a short report of the forum. The choice of words is revealing. During European Union discussions, Hungary and the Czech Republic have been more consistent in cheerleading for child killer Netanyahu than Germany. Decisively, however, Germany is Europe's largest provider of arms to Israel, as well as being a major client of the Zionist regime arms industry. Rafael benefits directly from the alliance with Germany. That fact was celebrated at a ceremony held last month to mark how Leopard 2 tanks in Germany's arsenal have been kitted out with Rafael's active protection technology. The same equipment, known as Trophy, is incorporated into the Merkava tanks with which the Israeli regime has invaded Gaza. ELNET is not the only pro-Israel group set up from the U.S. that wields considerable influence in Germany. The American Jewish Committee, AJC, has recently held discussions with Friedrich Merz of the Christian Democrats, the man widely tipped to be Germany's next chancellor. The AJC, which maintains an office in Berlin, has not been neglecting the current government either. It has applauded Nancy Faeser, the Interior Minister, for her strenuous efforts to ensure that ordinary folk don't entertain thoughts of which official Germany would disapprove. Faeser has banned the red triangle and other symbols, allegedly indicating sympathy with Palestinian resistance fighters. A few weeks ago, the Bundestag approved a resolution stating that no organization should receive federal funding if it questions the Zionist regime's right to exist or endorses the Palestinian call for boycott, divestment, and sanctions. The resolution is the latest example of how the fight against anti-Semitism has been hijacked to silence criticism of the fabricated regime of Israel. Nancy Faeser has even recommended that people seeking asylum may be deported for liking or making comments about Palestinian armed resistance on social media. It has become mandatory for people requesting German citizenship to declare that Israel has a right to exist. In a new article, the academic Josephine Becker analyzes how Muslim, Turkish, and Arab immigrants are being blamed for importing anti-Semitism into Germany. As Becker states, it is a truly incredible accusation for a country that is responsible for the mass murder of millions of Jewish people and a growing extreme right-wing movement. If Germany really took its historical responsibility seriously, it would dump Israel. In response to the genocide, the United Nations recognized that every country has a duty to prevent genocide. Germany's unflagging support for the child killer regime of Israel is a dereliction of that duty.
Mother, don't cry for me, I'm heading off to war. God Almighty is my armor and sword. Palestine, forever Palestine. Children stones in the sky, they say to their parents, don't worry, God is on our side. Palestine, forever Palestine. Mother, don't worry when they come for us at night. Surely they'll be sorry when God puts them right. Tell me why they do it, what was done to them. Don't they know that God is with the oppressed and needy? He perished while the nations that rule through tyranny. Palestine, forever Palestine. children of Palestine are fighting for our lives. They say to their parents, we know that Palestine is our right. They say to their parents, we'll fight for what is right. They say not to worry, God is on our side. They say we'll die for Palestine. Palestine, forever Palestine.
Aquí Teherán, la voz de la República Islámica de Irán.